On the back of your bulletin, there's a place for you to follow along and to then take these things we talk about today home if you'd like, as, again, we lean into some acts of worship. And the first of those is confession. And even as I say that word, I acknowledge that or sort of recognize that we bring a lot of sort of varied experience of what that even means. In fact, it's a word that some of us from a Catholic tradition think of as confessing in a booth to a priest, and some of us from other traditions imagine sort of big or emotional displays where we confess big things, and some of us recognize confession as just a daily part of our prayer life where we come in prayer to God honestly. Well, today we come to confession corporately, and that is a certain kind of confession. It's a way of just sort of getting in touch with the truth, and it's a great place to start as we start the year, to sort of reset our expectations of what God wants from us, and to recognize that we don't live into the fullness of that, and to acknowledge that together, and then to come in hope that God can do something about that. That God can forgive us, that God can heal us, that God can restore us. And that's really where true biblical confession comes from. It comes from a place of hope that if we get honest with God, God can then start to do something in us. And Psalm 51 is an example of that. It's a way of getting in touch with what we want to do today. It's David's psalm of confession. It begins this way: "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love." And in that we hear both the need for God and the hope that God can act. "According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins." At the heart, confession simply means agreeing with God about what is true and what is right, and getting in touch with that truth and living in the truth, recognizing that we don't often live by the truth, and sometimes we live contrary to it. We live in denial of the truth. We live in sort of our own version of the truth. But confession resets us. It does some life-defining things in us. One of the things it does is that it connects us to the truth that we so desperately need. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and God came looking for them to spend time with them, what did they do? They hid. They hid from God. They hid because the truth scared them. The main question we all answer and need to answer at the beginning of the year is, will I let God find me in the days ahead? Or will I continue to hide? Today, we're invited to step into the light of the truth that Jesus said would set us free, that we, when we hear his words and walk into them, that we will find freedom. Confession gets us back in line with what Jesus teaches as the truth, that we are here to love God and love each other. And that will pretty much fill up our calendars in the year ahead if we are about it. The truth that we are not what we could be, that we are broken and in great need, but also that we are deeply loved at the same time. The paradoxical truth that we are broken and even more so, we are loved. So in the formal liturgy here in a minute, as we confess, we'll pray. I'll pray over you these words. "Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners." This is the truth, that God's love is greater than our sin. And that when we live in that truth, life begins to open up, which is our hope for the year ahead. The second thing confession does is it connects us with each other. I envision a community of people who just admit they don't have it all together, that they need help, and then begin to deal more honestly than we do other places. It's great to start out by saying, "I don't have it all together," and then let God start from that place of truth. So would you just turn to your neighbor and say that? "I don't have it all together." Just go ahead, confess it right now. I love it when a spouse, a husband, turns to a wife and says that, and the wife goes, "I know, honey." It's like, we know this. This is true. This is just the deal. So we might as well start there. And that is what confession does. It lets us start there in that place of truth. I don't have it all together. That's right. And when we say those words, some powerful relational things happen. We find acceptance for who we truly are. We're loved as we are, with warts and all. Those of you who are reading in the Bible with us this year, you know, I've sort of read that from the lens this time of, the whole church is reading this, and it's like, wow, these people have a lot of issues. Right there in the first pages of Genesis, and the Bible doesn't hide that. It admits we don't have it all together, and so biblical community does the same. And when that happens, then we find acceptance from each other as we really are. We find help and encouragement for the things that hold us back from each other and God. And we experience the community of people speaking these powerful words, me too. Me too. Confession also connects us to healing, and that's why we want to do it today. Not to wallow in shame, not to be burdened by guilt, but to be set free. To find the healing that only God can offer, that God freely offers when we are honest. When we show up for our own lives. When we stop sleepwalking through our days. When we step into this day intentionally with God, just as we are. This is what we've come to do today. To come to God for healing. And so let me read to us from Psalm 32. How happy is the one whose wrongs are forgiven, whose sin is hidden from sight. How happy is the person whose sin the Eternal One will not take into account. How happy are those who no longer lie to themselves or others. When I refused to admit my wrongs, I was miserable, moaning and complaining all day long, so that even my bones felt brittle. Day and night, your hand kept pressing on me. My strength dried up like water in the summer heat. You wore me down. When I finally saw my own lies, I owned up to my sins before you, and I didn't try to hide my evil deeds from you. I said to myself, I'll admit my sins to the Eternal One. And you lifted and carried me away from the guilt of my sin. Confession is our path to healing. And so let's enter into that in worship today. I'm going to invite us to confess together corporately, and then following that to just pray silently where you are as we sing, and invite you at that time, if you'd like, to come to the altar. I think it's powerful to begin our year together, some of us on our knees. And so in that act of worship and confession, you might just come here during the song and kneel before God. You might stay in your seat and pray silently to yourself. You might sing, and you hopefully will hear God speak to you. The truth that you are both broken and loved. And so let's join in these words on the screen in our corporate confession. Let's pray together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's confess together. God, we are grateful for your love for us in Christ, which makes all good things possible. We're grateful that when we were mired in our brokenness and sin, you came looking for us in Christ. And when we hid from you, you came to us, persistent in your love for us, so that we might be loved and healed. In these moments, we come from our hiding and open our hearts, knowing that when we see your eyes, we find not judgment and hate and anger, but love, acceptance, the eyes of a father looking upon his children.
Gracious God, I come. Bearing every wrong I've done, trembling in sins I cannot name, with lips that lie and a heart that doubts your grace, free me from a past I cannot change. Lead me through confession out of shame. Oh, Jesus, you have brought me to this place that I may know you, that I may know you more and more. Father,
hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. This proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Would you say those words back to me? Because I need them too. In the name of Jesus, you are forgiven. And that to get thanks be God. Amen. Amen. The next word that will shape our worship is the word commitment. And for me, it flows just naturally out of confession, because we imagine Jesus coming to some pretty ordinary people, some people who are still in the midst of their issues, fishermen and tax collectors, and speaking these words, "Come follow me, just as you are." And the commitment that they made was just a yes to the call of Christ. And our commitments are really just that simple. Each year, each day, each moment, Christ is calling our name, come, follow me, leading us toward God and what God is doing in the world. Our commitment is a simple yes or no to that call, to that invitation. And it is the beginning of a process. It's the beginning of God's work in us. It's the beginning of the rest of our lives, because that commitment will then shape us. The way I think about it, and commitment is, again, is another word that has lots of meanings, but I think of an athlete who makes a commitment to a school. This is a bigger deal now than it was when I was in high school. Of course, nobody was asking me to make an athletic commitment to much of anything. But now, you know, the senior will sit down and there'll be a little ceremony, a little press conference, a little picture taken as they make that commitment to a school. And some of what I've been reading, I think it's happening sooner and sooner. And I also think of another place of where commitments happen in my life is when we do weddings. I did a wedding about a week ago. And the couple stands up in front of God and everybody, and you know, they're shiny and beautiful with all these romantic notions of how beautiful love is going to be for the rest of their lives and how easy it's going to be. And in my case, that's how it worked out. But for some of us, it's a little more challenging. And it proves the point, which is this, that our commitments shape us, and that they are at the start of the process, not at the end. Sometimes we get this mixed up. We think that when we make a commitment, we have to have it kind of together. But when Jesus called the disciples, or when athletes sign letters of commitment, or when people get married, they certainly do not have it all together. It's not the end of the process. It is the start of a process that starts right here, right now, the only place that it can, where you already are. That's the beauty of God's incarnational love for us, that it meets us where we are. Today, at the start of the year, we evaluate our commitment to Jesus Christ, which is simply how we are responding to his call on our lives, his invitation to love us, and his invitation for us to follow. I invite you to evaluate that commitment and what it means in our mission, and the words here on the wall, that we are invited into God's grace and invited then to grow through worship, through coming around scripture, as Laura said earlier, to a community. When Jesus invited people to follow him, it wasn't just to follow Jesus, but to join in a community of people who did, and to serve. And with that, we just thought we might live into some of those acts of commitment today and celebrate with those who are committing in different ways. And one of those is with the family coming to us, the Murphy family, presenting their daughter, Harper Murphy, for baptism. And in our tradition, when we baptize infants, we are acknowledging the start of a process in this child's life, and the commitment of parents who will shape this child and their family life from this point. And we find that to be a beautiful and sacred thing. So, Cole and Caitlin, thank you for coming and presenting your daughter to shape the rest of her life from this moment on. And for these grandparents and family members all in this area over here who have come to support and witness this. So, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, Cole and Caitlin, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. And do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages and nations and races? If so, say, I do. And now, will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to live a Christian life? If so, say, we will. And then do you, as the Christ body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this precious child now before you in your care? If so, then let's join in the words on the screen. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in her trust of God and be faithful in her service to others. We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. And so let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, will you tell me this child's full name?
Harper Carrington Murphy.
All right. Harper Carrington Murphy, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, would you guide the life of Harper? Would you walk with her each of her days so that your love for her might shine through her into the world? Until that day when she joins you in the eternity that you have set for her, may her life be a living example of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, what do you think about this? I wonder what she thinks about this. God bless you all. We celebrate and live into the commitment of parents who raise their children to know Christ. And a church that has come around that commitment in lots of different ways. And that's seen in other things that we want to celebrate today. One of which is that we had 100 people join Broadway in 2017, which is a pretty wonderful thing. About 38 of those, I think, if I get my numbers right, were confirmation students, which is an important step along the journey, especially as we baptize infants and then give them the chance to make that commitment for themselves. And I think we have a picture of those confirmation students from 2017 who represent God's work through our children and student ministry that we want to celebrate. So let's, we have a day to acknowledge them, but I wanted to bring that back. Along with several other adults who joined in 2017, I want to just thank you, the people who joined our church last year, the one-year commitment people. And I know we didn't ask this, but if you joined in 2017, would you mind just standing where you are so we can celebrate you? You're not going to be the only ones, by the way. You're just the first ones. So if you joined in 2017, would you stand? All right, we want to thank you for your commitment. And you can have a seat. Now, we're going to try something. I've never done it this way before, and it may be the last time that we ever do it. So just, you know, kind of little safety moment here. But you remember that if you've been to a wedding where they have the dance where people who've been married certain amounts of time, you know, go out on the floor, and then they have people sit down after a certain amount of time. Well, we're going to do that. You're going to think about, if you're a member of Broadway, how long you've been, you're going to have a little bit of a range here. So if you don't get it just right, nobody's going to know. But we want to celebrate everyone, from guests and people who are who have not made a commitment to Christ, and also people who have done so over the course of a lifetime. And so let's everybody stand. This is how this deal works. And if you have been a member of Broadway 5 years or less, we're going to have you sit down. So some of you didn't have to stand up very long. But you represent, the people who just sat down represent 477 people in our life together. It's pretty amazing, huh? Okay, if you've been married, if you've been a member between 6 and 10 years, so 10 years or less now, then you can have a seat. And that represents 372 people in our family. If you have, now this is a 10 year, we're going to 10 year blocks here, between 11 and 20 years. So 20 years or less, if you're still standing, you can have a seat. And that's 413 folks. And if you're a guest, you know, you definitely have a seat as well. And then, because this is where you start the numbers start coming down. Between 21 and 30 years. So if you have been a member of Broadway 30 years or less, then you can have a seat. And that's 30 people. There's a real change. And now if between 31 and 40 years, you can have a seat. That's 19 folks. Between, it's awesome, 40 and 49 years, you can have a seat. And that's 16 folks. And then 50 years or more, that's... There are 25 people who have been members of our church 50 years or more. And we thought during the offering today, we might just show you their faces. And you see their commitment over a lifetime, that they've been shaped from that yes to Jesus over the course of 50 years is a beautiful thing. So we're going to invite the ushers forward. And as we give, we are simply going to honor those folks who will be on the screen. And then come back and celebrate people who will be joining our church actually today. So let's pray together. God, we thank you for your call on our lives. And even as we give, we see this as a part of our commitment to you and the ways in which generosity shapes our lives. We are thankful that we get to join you in your work in the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The person who's been a member of our church the longest is Ruth Stewart, and she is standing in the back right over here, so let's wave at her. Her nickname is the Big Kahuna, and she has shaped our life, and we pray we've shaped yours over a lifetime. And we're grateful for you, Ruth. She's been a member for 77 years. How about that? And now let me invite Joey and Caitlin Trauber and Tim and Emily Neuendorf forward as they come to join the church today, which hopefully you see you're part of a legacy that in maybe 50 or 60 or 70 years we'll be clapping for you all. And we're grateful for you and for your story that brings you here and then our story that comes together. And so this is a chance for you to make a commitment and us to make a commitment to you. So do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and trust in his grace for salvation? If so, say, I do.
I do.
And will you be faithful to this church through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? If so, say, I will.
I will.
All right, let's honor them and thank them. Welcome. Which is a pretty wonderful thing, isn't it? To see God calling us and to imagine what that means for us and see that that's possible through God's grace in Christ. And so our final act of worship is covenant, and I'm just going to invite us to recognize that everything that we've talked about up to this point today is possible through God's grace given at great cost to us. So let's worship in a song and as sort of a preparation and then come to a time of communion together. Let's worship together.
Let's stand and sing together the greatness of our God. He gives life. He is love.
You have life. You are love. Bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath.
One day there'll be a time when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, the maker and lover of us all.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
All that we've talked about and all the hope that and expectation we bring to our year ahead is sealed in God's act of love for us in Christ, loving us at great cost. Jesus gave himself for us that we might know the full extent of God's love. And so we participate in this final act of worship in an appropriate way through Holy Communion. It is the ongoing reminder that Jesus himself gave us of what God had done for us. So we come and bring ourselves to this covenant, and then after communion, we'll join in the covenant prayer together. It's a sacred moment as we bring all of our hopes and dreams and possibility to God and his grace for the year ahead. We remember that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he was at table with his disciples, and he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, and again he gave thanks, and then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, drink. This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink it, remember me." And so we do. We come to remember the sacrifice made on our behalf and the free grace given to us at great cost. And then we come in the hope that that grace transforms us. And in that hope, we gather. We believe because of that you don't have to be a member of this church or of any church to come, but simply to come in faith. So I'm going to invite those who are coming to serve forward, as I extend the invitation of Christ to you, that if you have a lot of questions but a little faith, you are welcome to come. If you don't have it all together and yet hear Jesus calling, you are invited to come. If you have hopes and expectations that you pray that God can meet, you are invited to come. And we invite you to come. You'll exit to your left and then come around, receive, and then return to your right. To the right side of your seat there in your row. You'll come to three stations here in the front. It will also, if you require gluten-free, that'll be over here as well. And then to two in the back. I invite you to take a piece of the bread from the loaf, and then as you break it off, dip it into the cup, and then take it. And then feel free to stay here in the front to pray or go back to your seat. With that, let's pray one final time. God, would you meet us here in the bread and in the cup, in these ordinary elements that you have made sacred by your presence with us, as signs of your covenant with us, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you come?